News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
You know, there's nothing like called June lunacy or anything like that, but there is a March Madness, and it is a real thing, and it kicks off today, and I think, you know, it's just... I don't really do the brackets myself.
You don't do the brackets?
No, I don't lose any sleep on not doing that.
I kind of drag you, I don't know if it's kicking and screaming, but drag you into our college football pick'em that we do every year. I do know you enjoy that.
Yeah, that's fine.
It's kind of not your thing to just fill out brackets and make picks every week.
I don't know. No, it's not that important to me. And I could call my brother, who knows a little bit about it. And
a little bit, yeah.
Serious. Westwood One, he does some games for Westwood One in the tournament. But it's, I don't know. I just like watching the games.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm a purist.
I wish I could just like watching the games. and I do. I do like watching the games. Love basketball and have for a very long time. But I do every now and then like to have, you know, a little more riding on it, like picking a bracket out. And I do pick the bracket every year. I'm less and less serious about it every year as I have more on my plate at home.
You've got plenty going
on. It's kind of tough to justify. And I actually went through this for 1 year, and 1 year alone, where I played fantasy football after we had a child.
Mm-hmm.
And when your wife is sitting there with a crying baby and you're doing a fantasy football draft at the table.
I feel like the biggest jerk in America.
Very tough to justify spending any amount of brain power or time on that.
Or money.
Yeah so that ended. filling out brackets used to be a big thing for me too. Now, I mean, I just filled out one in like 10 minutes, just clicking right on through. And that was my first and maybe only bracket I fill out.
So you can give a lot of thought to it and come out terrible.
Doesn't matter. Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
It's kind of like Jeff Poor brought this up yesterday as a listener asked him, hey, if you won the lottery, I guess it's big news, either the Mega Millions or Powerball or both are way up there again.
Yeah, yes.
And said, hey, Jeff, if you did win the lottery, what would be your first three purchases?
Interesting.
And Jeff made a hilarious joke, by the way. He said he would buy L.com and fire everyone there. But
not John Sharp.
Except for John Sharp.
Yeah.
But Jeff said, you know, that's a fun thing for a lot of people to do is buy a lottery ticket. And then between the time you buy that ticket or tickets and the time they announce the winner, that's a lot of time where you can spend it dreaming about, well, what if I am the lottery winner?
Mm.
And so it's almost like a free mind vacation. Not free. It's almost like a mind vacation when you buy a lottery ticket for whatever that amount of time between when you buy the ticket and they announce the winner, where you're like, maybe I can buy a massive yacht. Maybe I will go ahead and have college paid for everyone in my family and generations to come.
Yeah.
And then you see that some dude in like Reno happened to get the winning ticket at some gas station. You go, well, that was a fun 48 hours. Kind of the same thing with the bracket. You've got all these big prizes out there. You give your information over, like I just did, to some insurance agency or car dealer who has the big prize for whatever website you're filling out your bracket. And then you dream. You're like, maybe I will just have a perfect bracket, win every game, and come out with a new infinity and $300,000. And then round one hits and you're just done.
You're gone.
Yeah.
Right. And that happens so often. And that's usually, I guess that happens when you have the big upsets. The 13 versus the 4. Well, we had a 16-1 upset for the first time ever.
Was that Purdue that fell last year? I think
it was Purdue. You're right.
And one seed.
I thought it was Virginia and Maryland, Baltimore County or something like that. But that happened one time too, where they were way up there. And so it doesn't happen often, but when it does, it's going to ruin things.
And I think the most of the state, I feel safe to say, most of the state's pulling for one of those big upsets tonight, one of the last games of the night. But you have Samford, the 13th seed, the Bulldogs out of Birmingham, and they're taking on Kansas, who is a 4 seed, but Kansas, them being a 4 seed is rare. They're normally a 1 or 2 seed.
Right.
And one of their best players is out tonight. You've got Samford, who's gone on a heck of a run with Bucky McMillan, and his story's really good too. The head coach for them, as he went to Mountain Brook, coached at Mountain Brook. I think he went to Birmingham Southern is where he played college ball.
Right.
and or maybe he coached there. No, he played there, and then he may have coached there as well. And then now he's the head coach at Samford. So his entire collegiate, his entire life is basically within 8 miles of Samford, where he coaches. And he's taken them from a team that was terrible 3 years ago to now, I think, a single-digit loss. Like, they may have 3 or 4 losses this year.
Incredible.
And a good chance, I think, tonight to upset Kansas in Salt Lake City. That game will start probably at 9 o'clock tonight, so you'll have to stay up late to watch that team from Alabama.
And of all my this is just amazing that it's happened this way. But, of course, y'all remember last summer where I was saying I couldn't see the Braves because of my – on YouTube TV, they didn't have the rights to the Braves.
Right, they got rid of Bally's. Or Bally's. That contract.
One way or the other, yeah.
What used to be Fox Sports South and Southeast became something else, and then acquired by Diamond Sports, they call it Bally's, and then all of their contracts fell apart.
And then I got the – so I got – I switched to Fubo, and I got the Braves, but guess who Fubo does not have an agreement with? Turner. Well, Turner is
the home of March Madness.
Exactly. So CBS is the primary place where you can watch the games. But then if you want to watch one of four others that's going to be out there, that's all Turner channels.
Yeah, you have CBS, which you'll have. True TV.
Nope.
Which you don't. TNT.
Uh-uh.
And TBS.
No.
So you'll be able to watch one of every four games.
And I'll see highlights. Or I will turn into an instant alcoholic and have to watch all of... I've got the event tonight with Light of the Village, so that won't be the case tonight or today. But, you know, you watch the game at... Heroes or Buffalo Wild Wings or what's the place right here? Walk-ons,
right?
You know, where you get a chance. You just seat yourself in an area where there's a bunch of TVs. Otherwise, I'm out of luck again.
And last thing on this, and then we'll get into everything else, including a lot of Trump news. But I am liking both Auburn and maybe Alabama's draw in this tournament. Now, Auburn did get a really tough bracket. Maybe
they did.
I think without a doubt the toughest bracket of the four, because not only do you have the top seeded team in the nation and defending champs, UConn, which Auburn, if they do meet UConn, it would be in the Sweet 16. But they also have Iowa State, who is a 2 seed but ranked 4th in the AP Top 25 poll.
They're really good.
They could have been a 1 seed. And then you have also Illinois, who is a 3 seed, but a lot of people say could have been a 2 seed.
So, and UConn in there, too?
UConn is, yeah. They're on the Auburn side. So Auburn will get Yale to start with tomorrow, and that'll air during Paul Feinbaum's show. And then they may play UAB after that, either UAB or San Diego State.
What in the world is the story with the – this is the – they're in the East, right?
Yes.
And they're playing – so they have an East bracket of games – in Spokane, Washington. What sense does that make?
It's the East bracket. So UConn got to decide which bracket they wanted to be in. And they chose the East because I guess their the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight will be in Boston.
Yeah.
And then the Final Four will be also very nearby to UConn. But the first round and second round aren't necessarily located in the same area as the region. So, yeah, you end up with Auburn and Yale and San Diego State and UAB all traveling out west to play in Spokane.
I just don't get it.
Even though they're in the East bracket.
If you're in the East bracket, why don't they schedule the East bracket somewhere east of the Mississippi?
The whole thing. Yeah, you would think they would do that.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's not just Auburn and UAB headed up there. Alabama is also starting off in Spokane.
Crazy.
And they are in the, let's see, Bama's in the, what are they, in the Midwest, or they're in the West bracket.
Okay.
So they'll be headed out west as well to play Charleston tomorrow. And if they make it through them, Bama will play either St. Mary's or Grand Canyon, and then up next for them could be North Carolina. So I don't know. Alabama can score. Their defense is a little more shaky.
Mm-hmm.
But any team that can score can really go on a heck of a run. And then you look at Auburn, and their depth is incredible, probably the best in the nation. It's just, will they have enough offense to get them through that incredibly tough bracket? It'll be fun to watch.
Yeah, heads up on College of Charleston and Alabama. They don't have the same personnel. They don't have the, you know, Alabama's got the athletes, but they both play up-tempo. So College of Charleston is not going to kind of fall into a well and slow it down or anything like that. They're going to go.
Mm.
So if they those schools generally have good shooters. So if they can score with Bama, They're going to play with them, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, that could be a round one upset. If you'd hate to see that if you're a Bama fan, that's for sure. Speaking of upsets, we've been talking about Donald Trump and this money that he needs to first off get a bond so that he can continue to appeal this ruling that was handed down against him, this judgment in Manhattan. So he needs to pay $454 million, right? By Monday, or the Attorney General, Letitia James, said she's going to start scooping up Trump properties. And Wall Street Journal reports that Trump could be in line for a potential $3.5 billion windfall.
Hmm.
And depending on the timeline of this case, it could come just in time. That windfall could come from his stake in his social media site, Truth Social. So Wall Street Journal reports supporters have made Truth Social the latest meme stock. Remember GameStop?
I do.
AMC Theaters?
Yeah, driving it up, right?
Right. So it's not public yet, but they said supporters have made Truth Social the latest meme stock and have driven up the value of the platform.
Have they done this purposely so they can help bail Trump out?
That's what Wall Street Journal is claiming. They said Truth Social is on the cusp of getting approval to list on the stock market. Trump's supporters banded together to push up the stock, valuing Truth Social to a staggering $6 billion. Now, the stock market isn't my game. I know a lot of you know a lot more about it than I do, but how are they driving up the value if it's not yet a publicly listed company? I'm not sure. They said Truth Social could go public as soon as next week, but the deal still needs to be approved by shareholders. Even if that happens, Trump must hold his shares for 6 months before selling. So even if they go public, he'll have to wait 6 months before he sells any of those shares. I think Trump is in control of 60% of Truth Social. So if it is valued at $6 billion, that's where the $3.5 billion windfall, that number comes from. Of course, if he sold all his stock, the company would completely go under because he's 60% of the stock. So it's not like that would happen either. But he could be looking at quite a bit of cash coming in here. Now, Wall Street Journal says regulatory filings show that he could request a waiver to sell his stake or to borrow against it. That seems like the most likely option. And it's unclear whether insurers that would back the bond would accept those shares.
Also, good news. His attorneys say it is good news. So I would assume that it is out of Atlanta, Georgia, dealing with Trump and the opportunity to appeal this Fannie Willis decision that the judge made last Friday, was it?
Yeah, and they're thinking with that appeal, that might push that trial back to after the November general election.
Right, right. Time-wise, we'll look that over a little bit after the break. It could really benefit Trump in a big way. Maybe throw the whole thing out of court. 819, Dan and Dalton and Mobile Mornings.
824 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Text line open. Phone line open. 251-343-0106. First, let me tell you about the great folks over at the local personal injury law firm, Tobias and Comer Law, where they've helped get fair compensation for hundreds of people and families in our area. They've been doing it for decades from their office down on Dolphin Street. At Tobias and Comer Law, they'll help guide you through your case from the time you first talk with them until it's over. They don't pass that responsibility on to some lawyer you've never met who may not even be from the area. No, they're from here. They live here, work here, play here just like we do. From car to boating accidents, defective products to workplace accidents and maritime injuries, Tobias and Comer Law has seen it all. And their website's great. It's full of useful information, tobiascomerlaw.com. You'll also find their phone number there for a free consultation any time of the day, 24/7. That number is 251-432-5001. Check them out, tobiascomerlaw.com, and vote for them in the Nappies nomination period, which is open till Sunday at votenappies.com for Best Personal Injury Attorney and Best Personal Injury Law Firm, tobiascomerlaw.com.
Sometimes when I see a headline or an entire story, I see it and I try to figure out, okay, now, how significant is this? And a lot of times it's got to do with the law, right? Which you and I both say, we're not lawyers, so we have to kind of dribble around the block a little bit and find other opinions and see what people are saying. This does look like it could be a big deal that the judge that ruled against Trump,
McAfee,
which some of you may have seen coming when he first dropped six of the charges against him. Mm-hmm. And then later in the week, he said to Trump, his boys, she's staying on the job.
Yeah, it said Fannie Willis could stay on, and that Nathan Wade, the prosecutor with whom she had an affair, had to leave. And that's exactly what happened.
So yesterday, he said, the same judge, upon review of the defendant's joint motion for certificate of immediate review, the court finds that the order on the defendant's motions to dismiss and disqualify the Fulton County District Attorney is of such importance to the case that immediate review should be had. Now, that Steve Sadow, lead counsel for the former president, said in a statement that this was a highly significant decision by the judge. The defense is optimistic that appellate review will lead to the case being dismissed and the DA being disqualified, Sadow said. So this is going to move to an appellate court, right? Mm-hmm. A state appellate court?
That's right. An immediate review by Georgia's Court of Appeals. So they'll start looking at it immediately. And these timelines, you know, they differ from jurisdiction to jurisdiction, state to state. But the experts say that with that appeal being allowed to go forward, that delays a trial from being scheduled, making it, in their words, highly unlikely that trial would take place before the election in November. So if you're keeping count, remember four major trials involving Trump as we headed into the primary and then the general. One of those was that Manhattan judgment against Trump for the real estate valuations, of course. We talked about that and the money that he owes by Monday, but that's under appeal as well. So we'll see what the appellate court in Manhattan will do for Trump, although that seems like they'll be less likely to give him a break than maybe a court in Georgia.
Yeah.
So that's where the ruling has already been handed down by Engoron. That one's under appeal. You've got this Fannie Willis case. They're saying it's highly unlikely it takes place before November. That leaves you with two. One is the Jack Smith, Washington, D.C.
Yes.
Election case.
Yep.
And the other is
not good for
Florida.
Trump that it's in D.C., by the way.
Right, not good that it's in D.C. And then the other one is Florida and Eileen Cannon, the judge in that one, regarding the documents at Mar-a-Lago. And I think I've seen that one's been delayed to a point that it's unlikely it gets done before November either.
And so, again, my ignorance of the law, I to me, just, you know, with that in place, my ignorance of the law, but still just looking this thing over, it feels a little bit like McAfee's kind of playing both sides of the coin here a little bit, where he dropped six of the charges.
Right? Which they were allowed to refile.
Right.
So we'll see if those charges
right. So
come
they
back.
Came back up. And then, of course, he on Friday, made the decision that Fannie Willis could stay, and now he is quickly allowing Trump's team and other defendants to appeal.
Mm-hmm.
So if it goes to this appellate court and McAfee's not on the bench or anything like that, then does this thing have a chance of being overturned?
Yeah. And
don't know.
Well, it would be, if it were overturned, I guess they would toss Fannie Willis off the case. And then if Georgia wanted to bring charges again, they'd have to have another
DA
prosecutor, another DA take it over. So, but that would really extend all of this to beyond a point where Trump may already be named president, you know?
Yeah.
It's all said and done.
Yeah, it's just the politics and the law intersecting in some very high-level ways mm-hmm. here concerning Donald Trump.
Coming up, we have Rob Holbert with Lanyap and plenty to get into with him as a new issue of Lanyap on stands now, including some decisions made at the Mobile City Council meeting this week. We'll talk about that with Rob on the way right here on Mobile Mornings.
Dana Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 8:30, just about 8:35. Some morning sunshine. Dr. Bill said we could expect that, but then as we go along here today, the clouds will gather and to the point where it looks like rain, at least a chance of rain tonight and a pretty good chance of rain tomorrow, setting up a good weekend. But that's what we got going on here. We're probably in the 70s before the day is through.
Yep, and what they've got going on over at lanyapmobile.com is a whole lot of journalism and a whole lot of voting for the 2024 Nappies nomination period. And it is a Thursday. That means it's time for us to talk with Rob Holbert from Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com. Good morning, Rob.
Hey, guys. How are y'all doing?
We're doing all right. So Sunday, that's the deadline for nominations, I guess midnight Sunday?
Yeah, the nomination period is drawing to a close here. So we've still got some days to get your nominees in there. So keep voting and get those folks in there for the finals.
You know, I'm not sure how much we got to discuss it last week as the announcement came late in the week, but I think it's fair to say the biggest news over the last while here in Mobile is this new arena. And you had the mayor, you had city council talking about this last week, but we now have a good look at what we may have there on the Mobile Civic Center property by 2027, and that is a $300 million arena. We won't be calling it the Civic Center any longer, but the arena and whoever ends up sponsoring it. What were your thoughts? I mean, the reasoning given behind not just refurbishing what we have now is that that would only give us about 15 years before we're talking about it once again.
Right.
So demolish it, put up a $300 million arena with some help from different sources. What were your thoughts, Rob?
Well, I mean, I think once they looked at it, I think after, you know, I think the initial thought process of refurbishing it, once they really looked at it, they just realized it was going to be almost as expensive as building a new one or getting close to that. And, you know, then you'd be back in the same boat much sooner. So, you know, hopefully this is going to be something that lasts for many, many years and it serves the community well. I think it's going to be... there's going to be a lot of activity there. I think you're going to see that with, you know, the group that they've that they're partnering with is also hooked in with Live Nation that handles like I think about 80% of the tours in the country, something like that. There's going to be music there. There's going to be activity there. I think that's the big thing. You know, we still hear that. You know, there's still always, you know, ghosts from the past. People come out and say, "Oh, no, Mobile's being blackballed." That's not the case. Those things are long gone. The reason we don't have concerts at the current Civic Center is it just can't hold the weight of the current, all the equipment that they use these days. So that will be very different. I think it sounds like we're going to have ice hockey coming back. The group that's bringing it feels pretty confident they'll be able to get an East Coast team to come here.
What do you think about the Civic Center? Well, you know, the entertainment district, basically, which is Dolphin Street right now, that's only about four blocks north of where the Civic Center is. Do you think those two can intermingle and work out? Also, is there going to be some mini entertainment district in the area of the arena, or would that have a chance to pop up?
I mean, I think that when you have 7,000 people coming down for a show, that is invariably going to help the bars and restaurants on Dolphin Street.
Mm-hmm.
I think the concept that especially if over the course of time there ends up being residential near the new arena and some of the other things that go on there, I think it's likely that you're going to end up with at least some restaurants and some other things over there. That makes sense. But I don't think the concept that it's going to be a full-blown entertainment district. I know there's been some fear from some people that they're basically starting a competing entertainment district.
Right.
I don't think that's the case. That came out of a previous plan that had been thrown out there at one point that was more or less in sort of an outdoor kind of arena have an outdoor kind of venue with everything built for an entertainment district around it. This is not that case. This will be, if something does crop up, it will be more of a, you know, something that somebody does privately that comes in. It's not going to be at the impetus of the group running the arena, I think. And so, you know, I think that's a fear that some big people have. But I mean, you know, the idea that we can't ever have another restaurant downtown that's not on Dolphin Street or whatever is kind of silly. I think that's it'll all grow. And if you're going to have a bunch of shows down there, I suspect by the end of it, the people who are on Dolphin Street are going to be really excited about it.
And I think the blueprint of it is in Atlanta right now, which is really cool. I've been there one time, but they basically built the stadium and also built what they call the battery.
The baseball stadium?
Yeah, the battery around, they call it the battery, and that's an entertainment district that runs maybe a block or two. I mean, they've done it very successfully there, but of course in Atlanta, you've got 80 times a year, you're going to have 40,000 people showing up. So
right.
It was bound to be.
I don't think you're going to see anything like that. that down in that area. I mean, I just would be really amazed if there's that level of of infrastructure and that level of investment to do those things. Because I mean, it's, you know, we've had I mean, we've been working on our entertainment district for over 35 years at this point, and it's still got a long ways to go sometimes. I mean, there's still plenty of room there to grow. I just don't see having that kind of thing over near the arena. I mean, I suspect there will be people who open restaurants and do some things there if there's, you know, the crowds are there to do it. But, I mean, there's going to be overflow. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you've got a 7,000-seat if you've got a sellout at the place and there's 7,000 people coming down there, there's going to be people going to different bars and restaurants that are nearby, I think.
Yeah.
Talking with Rob Holbert with Lanyap, new edition of Lanyap on stands now and online at lanyapmobile.com. You know, money, the big issue here that a lot of people see with this project, and the mayor's administration really trying to get across the fact that they haven't taken on a lot of debt since he's been in office. And I love how Dale kind of worked these numbers out that currently city's paying about $35 million a year on debt service, and most of that is debt inherited from previous administrations. And then once that's paid down by, I think, 2030 was the year they gave, the payment on this project and all the other debt would be $28 million per year. So actually would take a step back from that. But Dan and I were looking at a similar arena, very similar city to Mobile, and that's Savannah, who just built a new arena. OVG is their marketing partner there, just like the plan is for the Mobile Civic Arena. But they got started back in 2019. And I don't know how different the blueprints for these arenas look, but theirs ended up costing about $165 million. And you're looking at this one at a $300 million price tag. I think a lot of that just comes from waiting a little too long and seeing that prices on construction and a lot of the goods you need for that construction just skyrocket these last few years.
I think that's probably a huge part of it. I mean, you look at everything. Look at the bridge project. Look at everything. They've all gone up tremendously as we've waited. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think if we had done this a while back, we would definitely have been a cheaper buy. You know, everything's super expensive. All the construction's very expensive. It's gotten, I mean, we've had record inflation for the last couple of years. It's so, you know, there's a lot of stuff built into that, I think. And, you know, it is what it is at this point. And I'm sure 20 years from now, $300 million will look like a pittance compared to what those things will cost then.
Yeah, Pensacola will be putting in $1 trillion. It would be at a billion.
It never, you know, prices always go up, don't they? And that's where it's probably headed eventually. It's going to be, you know, $1 billion arena in a mid-sized city.
Council and some changes, aggressive changes, it seems to me, when it comes to garbage in the city of Mobile. What do you see there? I remember a few years ago, Dale and I were talking about this, where they stepped up regulations or on smaller shopping centers and small businesses to make sure that they were a little tidier. It looks like they're doing that again.
Well, you know, anything that can keep us from looking as trashy as we can look at times is a good thing, I think. You know, I mean, that's a big part of it. You know, that's what I mean. I know people don't like it, but mm-hmm. I mean, the city's full of trash a lot of time, and there's a lot of stuff that's unsecured floating around.
Yeah, agreed.
And I'm sure part of it, of course, you've had like apartment complexes who have been, they've been going after them recently for not cleaning up around their dumpsters, but they're saying a lot of businesses don't even have trash cans out in the parking lot. So people who really don't need an excuse have one and are throwing their trash out in parking lots. So they're kind of toughening that for businesses and maybe even putting their license on review if they keep having these litter, if they keep breaking the law with litter.
Well, I mean, we need to be tough on litter in the city. I mean, there's just too much trash being thrown out. I mean, and I would much rather see the litterers get nailed than, you know, I mean, there's a lot of places where, I've certainly seen people pull up in an empty parking lot and unload all the contents of their vehicle out on the side of, and then drive away. I don't necessarily think that's the parking lot owner's problem.
Right.
It's really the issue of the individual doing that. But I mean, you see people throw stuff out the windows constantly. I can't imagine that that's not something that our police see all the time as well. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, I mean, we have a problem as a city of people just throwing garbage. I know as much as Mayor Stinson has made that a priority and he hates it, I don't know that that's changed very much at all since he's been mayor. It just is a built-in part of what we are, I think.
Yeah, and a lot of that garbage works its way into the waterways, and then you have big pieces of, I don't know if you want to call it garbage, but derelict boats, and that's what Dale Leash wrote about. Cover story this week, city set to remove 11 abandoned boats and 15 structures from area waterways, so making it a little bit safer. I'm not sure how much of those were left after Sally and Zeta, still cleaning up from that, but good cover story there from Dale Leash this week.
Yeah, it's fascinating stuff. Just people actually just leaving their boats, and if they get tired of the boat or whatever, they just take it, pull all the identifying information off of it, even to the point of cutting pieces out of the fiberglass to get those numbers off and leave the boat somewhere, just abandon it and let it sink or fill with water or whatever it is. And you know, those are things that have gotten, they're in the middle of the waterways, and you'll see them around. It's kind of amazing that that happens, but it does. And so the city's got a grant to pull some of those out of the way that had really become obstructions. It'll be neat to see some of those things get yanked out of there, but there's a whole lot more. I know that tires in the bay are just also like an amazing thing. There's just tires everywhere.
Wow. I think they've broken new, litterers have broken new ground when I saw, no joke, a trash pile at the walking trail, the nature trail.
Oh, no.
That is no lie, Rob, because I'm out there all the time. A nature trail trash pile.
No shame.
I mean, for goodness sakes.
It's a problem, man. I mean, people just like, I don't know. I'm always amazed by the amount of littering that goes on in our area and just the brazen nature of some of the people who do it.
Yep.
I still always... My favorite memory is driving down the street behind somebody who threw their entire lunch out of the sunroof and landed on the hood of my car as I was driving behind them.
Gosh.
Wow.
It's like something out of a movie. I'm like, that was crazy.
Unbelievable. Hey, Rob, for folks who want to pick up the new edition on stands, or I always encourage them to sign up online and get those basically delivered right to the inbox, how can they sign up for Lanyap?
Well, of course, you can pick us up at all the boxes around town, but, going on and becoming a subscriber is a big part of keeping us going and having a newspaper in Mobile, which is something a lot of cities in Alabama don't have. So you can go on to lanyapmobile.com and get signed up. It's $1 for the first month, and it's just $1.50 a week after that, $6.50 a month after that. So I know everybody's inundated with subscriptions, but this is your local newspaper, so a lot of news there.
Got it, man. Thanks a bunch. Appreciate your visit again this week, and we'll talk in 1 week.
All right, guys. Y'all have a great weekend.
All right, Robert. Rob Holbert. You can call him Robert. Yeah. Lanyap Mobile.
Scold again?
Lanyapmobile.com.
Robert, get over here.
And votenappies.com through Sunday, the nomination period.
What is going on, y'all? It is 8:53 with Dan and Dalton on Mobile Mornings. Up next, the Jeff Poor Show. Here is Jeff's lineup. 9:35, Breitbart News. Bradley J. will join the show. 10:35, it'll be from Eagle Forum, Becky Gerritsen, who is not for gambling. I can't say that more strongly. She'll say it strongly enough, and then you'll see what I'm talking about. And House District 10 hopeful Teddy Powell will be in the 11 o'clock hour on the Jeff Poor Show next on FM Talk 106.5.
I'd love to know. And it may be zero. The number may be zero. I'd love to know how many of our legislators, representatives in the House or state senators will be placing a wager on a college basketball game today or tomorrow. Surely not, right? Surely none of them are placing bets with any online offshore sports books.
If you're talking about kind of being in session and playing with your phone, what was the story the other day? that was a little dark.
Yeah. So, are you talking about with Todd Stacey?
Yeah.
Sean Sullivan,
and he didn't mention who the guy was, but he said he was on an app that was for rich guys looking for. He's a sugar daddy looking for a woman.
Sugar mama.
Yeah.
No, the sugar mama would be a lady with the money.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I didn't read the story. It must have been behind the paywall, but I heard him and Sean talking about that. So I guess I don't know if someone saw it over a shoulder in the Alabama legislature, but one of the Alabama legislators was apparently on a sugar daddy dating app.
Yeah.
Yeah, where it's...
dating.
A dating app.
I mean, you don't have to use the word dating.
Well, it's a dating app.
Well, I don't think that it's like, hey, can we go out on a date? It's not the traditional way that you say, look, I'm rich, mm-hmm. and we can go do some cool stuff. Maybe at the end of the night, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know that that's calling it a dating app. Puts a shadow on all dating apps.
Hookup app?
Yeah, more like that. But
so, yeah, I don't know.
Hookup feels like one time. This sounds like you're going to have a relationship.
Okay, yeah.
I'm the guy with the money.
Well, then we're back to dating app. So we're back where we started, that's the case. Sugar Daddy Hookup Act. But he didn't say which legislator.
No.
So that is some information I'm interested in finding out who that was. But, yeah, I would like to know how many may or may not be placing a bet on March Madness, as it is the number one betting time in America.
Auburn today or Auburn tomorrow?
Auburn tomorrow. 3:15 is when they're supposed to start.
Alabama tomorrow?
Yeah, Alabama tomorrow night. I forget when their game is. I think it's quite a bit later in the day.
I was asking why the East, there'd be games that teams were in the East. Now I'm figuring it out. They're in the East, but they're playing in Spokane because Spokane just happens to be one of the first weekend spots.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
The West is out there and the East. So now that makes sense to me.
Yeah. So Alabama plays Charleston tomorrow night, scheduled for 6:35. Of course, these games push into each other and you end up having games that start sometimes 30 minutes, 45 minutes past their scheduled start time.
And who's watching True TV through the year, all mm-hmm. year long, until the final, are we making people that watch True TV mad?
Oh, no doubt about
now,
it.
Their show about that trial 10 years ago is no longer going to be on today.
Yeah, or I thought True TV, I think they just run that show about the guys that are pranking people.
Oh, that,
just 24/7. Yeah, I can't remember the name of that show. All I've seen ever are ads for it. And it's when I'm either watching baseball or basketball on TNT or TBS or the tournament on True TV.
Here's some trivia for you that I'm not even sure is true, okay? But in my mind, it feels right. True TV was, before that, it was Court TV.
Okay.
And Court TV started with the coverage of the OJ trial.
Really?
And then it just morphed into its own.
Did Court TV become True TV?
I think so.
Okay. I had no idea.
I think so. And you can correct me on the text line if you want. Court TV wasn't a thing. The trial of the century hits with OJ. Mm-hmm. You were just a little toddler at that time.
Yeah.
But that got so much attention.
I still cheered, though, when when they read out. I was like two.
Hey!
That, I can't believe, I can't imagine witnessing that, like I'm sure a lot of folks did.
I witnessed when he was found not guilty. I was at Darryl's, I think was the name of the restaurant on the Beltline, and it was lunchtime, and half the restaurant cheered.
Wow. So coming up tomorrow, we'll talk with Caroline Dobson in the running for AL2, but also the Mobile Mystics return. Seems like that might be likely, especially with this John Sharp story. We'll delve in tomorrow morning on Mobile Morning.